At JCPenney, we make fashion count for everybody and everybody. Get pieces that fit and flatter at prices that feel good. Mix easy on cargos with breezy tops or polish your look with soft suiting. Step into JCPenney brands that get you, like St. John's Bay and Worthington, each in women's petite and plus sizes too. Guys, you're good to go in brands like Mutual Weave, J. Farrar, and Stafford. Style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
Just ready to go. I don't know if it's the Stevie Wonder or not. But hey, before we start, did you check out the that doc, The Greatest Night in Pop, on Netflix about the making of We Are the World?
No, I've heard Bomani reference it on his podcast several times.
It's amazing. But
I'll have time for docs later.
It is busy. Like, I had somebody tweet at me today, make sure you talk about that top 25 college baseball matchup yesterday. I'm like, what happened in it? So he told me all about it, and I said, well, you apparently don't need me to talk about it, do you?
Perfect. Yeah, so, but we'll have that card ready to go when I'm ready to talk about college baseball.
Thank you very much. All right, let's delve into the Chipolytics.
Yep.
How improbable was what we're watching with the Wolfpack, sir?
Oh, okay. Can I put a qualifier on it?
Please do.
If I can put a qualifier on it.
You can do whatever you like.
Yeah, not that improbable. Because if you, college basketball team, were to hold, I don't know, six straight opponents under 40% shooting from the field,
right,
you make your odds a lot better to win basketball games. If your nine postseason games are all right at 40%, you give yourself a pretty good chance to go and win some basketball games. I mean, this is a team that has so effectively bought in as a team on the defensive end. You know, I'm working on a story right now. It's this massive, almost like encyclopedic preview for the Final Four with, you know, blurbs on each of the teams. And my argument is that NC State uses every square inch of the floor better than anybody else. That offensively, they do a great job of spacing the floor, obviously, around DJ Burns. Mm-hmm. The improved outside shooting has helped. But then defensively, I mean, they do full court pressure at a rate that is higher than most power conference teams. And while it doesn't always lead to steals, what it does is it prevents the opponent from really being able to get set up and get in the rhythm of their offense. So, you know, credit to Kevin Keats for identifying the right pieces and getting them all to buy in. You know, credit the training staff for, you know, keeping them hydrated as they're going on this tremendous run.
Especially
and doing
Mo Diarra.
Running. You know, I think that is the thing that is really impressive, and the thing that answers the questions about probability is that the way that NC State has played defensively is such that they have limited the margins of what they need to do. Then DJ Burns, of course, 18 points per game in this tournament run. He's answered the call the rest of the way. It makes more sense than it does when you just look at a team that lost 10 of its last 14 games in the regular season and then ripped off this heater. When you go inside how they've been playing in the heater, it is not an anomaly or a comet. If you look at the way they have been playing in the postseason, it's winning basketball.
Chip Patterson is joining us here, as he does every Wednesday. Here's the thing about it that I've tried to talk to people about when I've been asked about it. Like, I get that they lost four in a row, and I get we had talked about it, whether it's you and I or me on the show, talking about what I see from this team is I'd always, and people will remember I've been saying this, I always thought that they should have been performing better than they were performing. So at some point, though, you have to go, all right, for whatever reason, they're not. And they had become the DJ Horn show. And this is not his fault. It's because a lot of those other players just weren't playing well. They weren't scoring enough. They weren't providing, cover for Horn. And DJ Burns is also not playing all that well. Then about the last month of the season, something changed. Not that he dramatically changed his game, but you could see it starting to come around. They just needed to put it together. And once they got on this little run, as I've said, I'm not completely surprised that they're where they are simply because I thought they would be good And now we're looking at a team that, hey, when you get in, if you start playing well, you can beat anybody. There's nobody you can't beat when you get to the tournament as long as you're playing well, because it's not easy to play well.
Are you, I know you listen to the Island College Basketball podcast.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you know about sorting the data?
No, I mean, I have not heard them talk about that. But
all right, so Gary Parrish invented sorting the data.
Gotcha.
At BartTorvik.com, you can get efficiency ratings in a certain time frame, in a certain window.
Okay.
Since the NCAA tournament started, NC State has been the ninth most efficient team in the entire country.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just they are playing, winning basketball. Yeah. And so while they are only the sixth 11 seed to be able to make it to the Final Four since the field expanded, I do think that there is something to be said. You know, we always talk about seeding. This team was underseeded. This team was overseeded.
Right.
The ceiling for NC State, to your point, was not an 11 seed.
No.
The ceiling for this NC State team, not a one or a two, not that the expectation would be there. NC State has gotten some breaks. I'm not going to ignore the fact that there have been some things that have gone the Wolfpack's way, but the ceiling for this NC State team is probably what, right? Let's say what, right where Clemson is, right?
Yeah.
You know, a mid bracket team mm-hmm. that was wearing the home uniform for the first round game.
Yep.
And a six seed being in the Final Four is not crazy. You know, we see that kind of stuff happen all the time. It's just that NC State was not performing consistently to that ceiling. They were seeded according to their results, which was largely more losses than wins over the last 2 months of the season.
Here's the thing about where the Wolfpack were during the year. If they beat Virginia Tech, and the sad part about that Virginia Tech loss was that it came after that Wake Forest win. That was such a good win, right?
Right.
If you beat Virginia Tech, if you don't get swept by Pitt, you don't lose the Pitt game. And I thought Pitt was good. I had no problem losing to Pitt. It sucks that you lost to him at home, but I thought Pitt was a legitimately good team. Didn't have the resume to make it. I'm not arguing that they should have been in. I'm just saying that I watched them. They passed my eye test.
Sure.
But so if you give them three more wins and they're 12-8 in the league as opposed to 9-11, they finished 9-11. If you give them the three more wins, they might have been a 6 or a 7 seed, and we wouldn't have been so blown away by all of this. But because of what the circumstances were, it does seem more improbable. And I mean, statistically it is, because you had to win 5 times in 5 days in D.C. and get a banked in 3 to force overtime against Virginia.
I mean, it's way more fun that it's improbable.
Right. No, I agree. But I'm just talking about in terms of how good this team should have been.
Sure.
It's not a complete shock to me that they're here. And I thought they would beat Duke.
Adam Golden Studio with my man, Coach Pete DeRuta, Capital Financial Advisory Group. Financial advice industry can be overwhelming for a lot of people. Is there a way to be sure you're getting the best service when you don't know?
Yeah, Adam, it's not just if you gave the money to a planning team and they did good the first year. I mean, anyone could do good for 1 year, but it's a track record and it's a long-term accounts that are very important. We call that a financial fill-up strategy, Adam, and that gives you lifetime income you can never outlive. We'll put together for you, the listener, your very own total retirement plan if you call right now.
Call and claim your comprehensive review with Coach Pete and the team, 888-843-0013, or text Adam to 600-700.
Adam Gold is a paid spokesman. Investment advisory services offered by Capital Financial Advisory Group, a North Carolina registered investment advisor.
I thought they would. I predicted, believe it or not, during a hockey game, because Trip Tracy asked me about it. But I said I thought State would win. I thought they were playing better than Duke.
They had a light go off in the second half of that game. That was something special.
Oh, and in the Duke game.
Yeah.
They looked like they knew they were better than Duke. Knew it.
Was it 55 second half points?
Yes.
Bananas.
Duke had averaged giving up 51 a game in their first three games. They gave up 55 in the second half. And State could have scored more.
Yeah, and there were just no answers.
Yeah, none.
And the confidence was incredible, just surging throughout that roster. So I think that that second half offensive performance might have been one of those just, you know,
yes,
juice flowing. Yeah, yeah. One of those juices were flowing. Ball was hot. You know, the, what did they talk about? The energy in the ball, right? Yeah.
17 of 20 from 2-point range. You think they could replicate that?
Yeah, I would. I did not have that. Like NC State beating Duke, I did not predict that going into the game. I thought it was certainly possible. I could not have predicted that second half on either side, the NC State side or the Duke side.
Just, well, this, the Duke thing, I think we saw coming. You know, I was hoping for Duke's sake that the second half against Houston would have kind of turned them around, at least gotten Jeremy Roach going. But ultimately they had one guy going. You know, it was really it was about Jared McCain. Now there's a longer conversation about what's next for some of those players.
Is McCain coming back?
I mean, he's not going to be a super high draft pick. He's going to be a first round pick, but he's not going to be a super high first round pick because he's not really a point guard, right? Not, maybe that doesn't matter anymore, but any yeah. 6'3" shooting guards, unless you're a 50% 3-point shooter. He is a great 3-point shooter, by the way.
Well, I think he's one of the best catch and shoot.
I love him
in college basketball this year.
I think he's one of the best players from the insides out in college. I love everything about Jared McCain. So I don't know what he's going to do, but he'll have options. If he wants to go pro, he'll be a first round pick. I just don't know how early that is and whether or not that matters to him. I mean, it matters. Different things matter to different players. Let me throw another basketball thing at you. And maybe next Wednesday we'll talk about, I know we have state spring game. I know you wrote for CBS about spring game questions.
Oh my gosh, Adam, there are so many teams in the ACC. Oh my God, there are so many.
Did that take you much longer than you ever anticipated?
When we used to do this, I started at CBS back in 2010, and it was a very common thing. Like, okay, we're going to have something like spring questions.
Right.
Everybody grab a conference. Everybody do one blurb per team. And at the time, in 2010, you know, all right, cool. We'll just knock out 12 blurbs. And not only is it 17, but it's like, what in the world is happening at Stanford? No, like, right. For real. I think – I almost have to call the head coach, Troy Taylor. What is this big question? Because it is so difficult for me to get a pulse on what the big burning question is. So, yeah, 17 blurbs on ACC teams for the spring. Go check it out at CBSSports.com.
I was reading it earlier today. So, yes, we're going to talk about it next week, Chip. We've been down this road before. I don't know. Maybe I'll ask you a couple of questions about it today. Real quick. Andy Enfield, who was at Florida Gulf Coast, then went to USC, and has said that, you know, he's now with SMU, that the only reason he went to SMU was because SMU is in the ACC. And most people are like, wait a second, SMU's in the ACC. When did that happen? Yes, it happened in the summer. I guess maybe not in the summer, in the fall. Thoughts on Andy Enfield and why it didn't work out as well as it probably should have at Southern Cal.
Okay, well, what were your expectations? Because he did make an Elite Eight.
That's true. You know,
he had USC competing in that top tier. I mean, this year they without a doubt fell short of expectations. Mm-hmm. And I like put Bronny James to the side. They had a combination of Boogie Ellis and Isaiah Collier, two players who are very, very good, two players who will be playing in the National Basketball Association. And man, they did not perform well.
So why did he leave?
Because he was going to get, like, I think he saw that USC moving from the Pac-12 to the Big Ten was going to tumble in the pecking order.
Okay.
That USC, that is restarting the clock. That is staying ahead. You know, like, remember you and I talked about all these college football coaches, Chip mm-hmm. Kelly, Jeff Hafley, you know, you look around and you look at the future and you say, man, USC Trojans basketball is going to be one of the 5 to 6 bottom programs in this new expanded Big Ten. And I don't know if there's the kind of commitment here to being really good at USC basketball for me to be able to climb up above some of these other Big Ten teams. So at SMU, what do you have? You've got deep pockets.
Yes.
You've got donors that are not going to want to fall to the bottom of the ACC upon landing there. That should create some NIL opportunities. Mm-hmm. And so I think for Andy Enfield, it was a very smart career move to be able to stay in the Power Conference level and get to a place where you're not just going to be a sinking ship upon arrival.
The whole thing is interesting to me. I wonder, will Bronny transfer to SMU? Where is Bronny James? I mean, he was sort of not quite, obviously not his dad as a player. What do you make of Bronny James and his college first foray into college?
I mean, obviously the health issue looms over
right.
it all.
Started at the beginning, right.
And I have heard from people who cover the sport and are involved with the sport on a 12-month basis. And I always try to clarify that because there is another level to this. I mm-hmm. do think that among a decade plus of experience of my mercenary, come in for 4 months a year, hit the ground running, I largely forget about college basketball after the national championship game.
Right.
The people who talk, who cover this 12 months a year will so often say that if you are a freshman and you join the team late, it is impossible for you to have an impact. Right. That whether it's injury or whether it's like a delayed enrollment, that missing out on being full go for all of that camp and all of those preseason practices and the first time that you face live bullets, even in games against teams from Iowa State's non-conference schedule, like not being a part of the team and in the rhythm makes it almost impossible for you to have a true impact when you get there. So for Bronny, who had a delayed return to action after a cardiac arrest, I just think that was in my mind. I was like, I don't think I'm going to expect much. We did not get much.
Right.
And in terms of, you know, where he goes next or what his ceiling's going to be, I know that basically you chart all the different connections, everything from, hey, Mo Williams is the head coach at Alabama State. So if you want to go be with, Bron's old teammate, Mo Williams, you've got Drew Joyce at Duquesne, right? Another yeah. connection to the Duquesne program from LeBron. Ohio State, duh. There are places where you can kind of pinpoint a potential spot for him. The question is, what's your expectation beyond that? I would say that the pro evaluators are not expecting that he's going to jump into the NBA draft.
No, he was never that type of player even before the cardiac arrest. He was always a good player, but it was going to take him some time. All right, final thing for Chip Patterson. First of all, the women's tournament has been A, amazing, and B, has exploded in terms of viewership. 12.3 million people watched LSU, on average, watched LSU Iowa. And now they're talking about, they're actually going to have these meetings about making the tournament look a lot like the men's tournament. I think they might stay with two regional sites where everybody plays in two different spots as opposed to four. But starting away from home courts by going to neutral floors, Debbie Antonelli says she hopes it stays at campus sites for the first couple of rounds because she loves those environments. But what do you make of the women's tournament and its explosion? Do you think it's the start, or is it because we've got so many noticeable stars?
Ooh, I think...
So, you've got an idea for a business. The store of your dreams. There's just one thing to figure out. Everything. That's why Shopify's all-in-one commerce platform makes it easy to sell online, in person, and everywhere else. Sell on social media, source products with an app to get that first sale feeling. It's the only solution that gives you everything you need to sell everywhere you want. So when you're ready to bring your idea to life, power it up with Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/listen.
I'm getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, a Pfizer vaccine.
So am I, because I'm at risk for pneumococcal pneumonia.
If you're 19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, COPD, or heart disease, or are 65 or older, you are at increased risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Ask your doctor or pharmacist about Prevnar 20, pneumococcal 20-valent conjugate vaccine. It can help protect you against pneumococcal pneumonia in just one dose.
Even if you've already been vaccinated with other pneumonia vaccines, Prevnar 20 may help provide added protection. Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
I would say it's more of the start than a blip, while also acknowledging that Caitlin Clark is different.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't cover the sport well enough to have a good feel for that. But here's what I do have an opinion on. I like the neutral sites for the opening rounds. I think that there is so much hope that is palpable in the air on a Thursday or Friday in the building when you've got all those teams mm-hmm. coming through and there's all the pep bands coming through and setting up, all the cheerleaders, all the different fans. I like it. You get into, to take it to another level, you get into those situations where, I'm here to see my team, in one of the morning session games, but I'm going to get there a little early. But there's an upset brewing in that early game. And guess what? Now all of a sudden I'm an Oakland fan.
Right.
And you get these moments that are just cascading with energy. And again, it is that hope and it is that magic that is a part of March Madness. I understand the home court advantage would be something that you would always want to play for, that the home court environments give more access to students. NCAA tournament games do not give a lot of great access to students. Certainly not to the level of a home court game in the women's tournament, but I will offer, from having covered several sites, both in the first round and even in the second weekend, but especially looking at those first round games, all those different fan bases, all those different teams, all the pep bands, all the cheerleaders, it is just a really, really cool moment to be a part of if you're there in the building on one of those days.
I've probably covered 25 first second rounds, right? Regionals in my life. There is a definite, it's almost an eerie atmosphere. If you get there before the games begin,
before all of the games begin.
It is there is you can feel tension in the building.
Yes.
It is really, really cool. And that's the difference between a home game and something like that. Their biggest fear has always been, can we sell tickets? I think the game is growing to the point where they can sell tickets. Now, there is a blip factor, though, in that all we have to do is go back, 5 years to Zion Williamson. The television ratings for Zion games are basically double what the top regular season games are today. There was a Zion effect, and we'll experience in many ways the same thing post Caitlin Clark. I'd heard somebody talking about it. I don't remember who. Talking about how, people are really into the personality here. I'm like, nah, man, Caitlin Clark isn't much personality. We just know she's a baller.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's just excellence.
Right.
It is appreciating excellence.
And when we watch, we know we're going to see something that, holy crap, did you just see that? Did she shoot it from where? So that's why we watched Caitlin Clark. And I think I feel similarly about Juju Watkins, who was just awesome. Paige Beckers is also a tremendous player. I wish Angel Reese hadn't gotten the ankle injury on Monday night because it definitely compromised her game late. But I think we watched because players are great.
Shout out to the LSU money line. I mean, we were sitting at, I heard you say that yesterday and I was like, oh, right there with you, brother.
Yeah. I saw value there.
Fernelli pitched it to me as the ultimate fade the public play,
Right.
Everyone is going to be on Iowa Caitlin Clark and, you know, Caitlin Clark season not ending here and not ending to that team and not ending to that coach.
Right.
That if you could swallow it, that LSU was a decent fade the public play. But like you said yesterday on the show, you know, 6-for-8 start for Reese, but then ankle starts bothering her, then LSU doesn't have any answers.
None.
And the Tigers like just could not defend.
They couldn't shoot their way past Angel Reese's problem, right? If they had two legit three-point shooters, it would have given them a chance. But they were so interior-oriented. And when Reese couldn't...
You can't trade 2 for 3s.
Nah. And also, Caitlin Clark, not only was she crazy good, but because she was so good, she made her teammates good, too. Just an incredible player to watch. That's why we watch. That's why 12.3 million people tuned in. Not because she's an effervescent personality. I'm not knocking her personality, but we watched to see the play. And she was awesome. As you are, Chip Patterson, as always. Next week, I'm writing it down. Spring game questions.
So we'll have Clemson in the books. We've got Clemson this weekend.
And State this weekend, right?
State this weekend too.
I think so. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
We'll get into it.
All right. Talk to you later, man.
Sounds good. Y'all be well.
So you've got an idea for a business, the store of your dreams. There's just one thing to figure out: everything. That's why Shopify's all-in-one commerce platform makes it easy to sell online, in person, and everywhere else. Sell on social media. Source products with an app to get that first sale feeling. It's the only solution that gives you everything you need to sell everywhere you want. So when you're ready to bring your idea to life, power it up with Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/listen.